This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. It's called the word gap, and it refers to the number of words that a child hears during his or her first few years of life. It turns out that by the time they're 4 years old, children from higher income families have heard many more words, 30 million more words, than children from lower income families.
And here's why that's significant. According to research, a child's academic success is directly related to the amount of talk he or she hears from adults during those first years of life. The more words they hear, the better they'll do. The less talk they hear, the less success they'll enjoy.
So the city of Providence, Rhode Island, wants to close that word gap and level the playing field between lower and upper income kids. With the help of a $5 million prize from the Bloomberg Philanthropies Mayor's Challenge, the city is launching a program it calls Providence Talks. And here's how it works.
The city will equip low-income families with small recording devices that can count the number of words a child hears every day. The families will get the results and then receive coaching to help their kids hear more words through things like read-aloud programs or events at local libraries and museums.
It's the first time that an entire city has tried to close the so-called word gap. And the question is, can it work? And how will it work? Well, joining us now from Rhode Island Public Radio is the mayor of Providence, Angel Taveras, who launched Providence Talks. And Mr. Mayor, welcome to Radio Boston. It's great to have you.
Well, it's great to be with you. Thank you so much for the opportunity to talk with you about our program.
Well, it's fascinating, and I want to invite our listeners into this conversation. We'd like to hear from you. What's your view on how to close the word gap and give low-income kids the same advantage enjoyed by higher-income kids? You can give us a call at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. We're also on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. Listen to what Mayor Taveras has to say and call in with your questions and anything else you want to say to join this conversation. And Mr. Mayor, let me start with, I understand that this comes from a personal that there's a personal perspective for you. You grew up in a single parent household. Your mother worked multiple jobs. So tell us about your personal experience and how it informed your idea to launch Providence Talks.
Well, I've been very fortunate. I grew up, my mom and dad divorced when I was young, and my mom raised us. I was a Head Start baby and was able to get started early. I did very well in school, went on to go to Harvard and Georgetown Law. When I was at Harvard, one of the most interesting things was my roommate was from Poughkeepsie, New York, and he was also a Head Start baby. And we talked a little bit about the fact that many of our friends there were Head Start graduates and why we thought that was. And now that I've gotten to see some of the research and learn more about what happens in the early years of a child's development, I realize how important it is. And what's most concerning to me is something that you mentioned in the opening, and that is that a lot of the kids, by the time they're four, there's already an existing word gap. And it's something that we want to address. It's extremely important. We need to start focusing earlier and earlier to make sure that we can close that gap, that kids come to school ready to learn. In Providence, two-thirds of the kids arrive for kindergarten already behind on national literacy benchmarks. On the first day, they're already behind, two-thirds of the kids.
Yeah, there's a real sense in the research and certainly in what inspired you to push this program that there's a lot at stake early on in a child's life, right?
Without any doubt. James Heckman was just in the New York Times recently, an article by Eduardo Porter, talking about the fact that we need to start earlier. And the research that they did over a long period of time, testing kids when they were, I believe, three, then they tested them again as they got older, when they were 5, 8, and 18. And so they did it over the course of a child's life. And they saw the changes, or the lack thereof, let's put it that way, because the kids who were behind ended up behind. And we want to change that, and we can change it. We have the technology to do it. We have the ability to do it. In Providence, because of our size, we have a scope that we can do it citywide, and we're looking forward to doing it.
Well, let's flesh out a little bit. We sort of, Meghna and I ran through how this would work, sort of, in the introduction, but let's describe in some detail how this will work. So there's actually a recording device that you're going to give to families who choose to participate in this program, and the recording device would actually be attached, do I have this right, to the clothing of the child in the family, and from that, what kind of data emerges?
Well, first of all, we will identify the families in conjunction with the Department of Health. And there are some home visitation programs that exist now, and we're going to work closely with them to see if parents want to get involved in this program. And thus far, just from a handful of people that we've approached as a pilot, we've had good success. The recording device is a very small device, about the size of a credit card, and it goes in the clothing and can be sealed off from the child because you don't want the child to get a hold of it, but it's not anything I don't believe that will be dangerous in that sense. It's a word pedometer is the best way I can put it. It keeps
a word pedometer, so it counts words, basically.
It counts the number of words, and then we're able to monitor the number of words in conjunction with the parent. And then we work with the parents to help them with strategies in terms of increasing the number of words that their children are hearing. And it's exciting because we are really helping the first teacher in a child's life, their parent. And it's empowering parents. And obviously it will be done if parents choose to participate. We're excited about doing it. We believe a lot of parents will get involved, and we also believe word of mouth will be very powerful as well. So we're really excited about what we're doing.
So let's imagine that you're working with a particular family, and the results show that the child isn't hearing the number of words that he or she should be hearing. So then the city would actually go to this, or representatives of the city of this program would actually go to this family and say, "Here's what you can do to get your kid exposed to more language, to more words." Right?
Absolutely. What we would do is to sit down and go through strategies. Now there are some obvious strategies. For example, reading a book. And one of the things I like about this is that it can also be bilingual. It does not have to be simply in English. It's about hearing words. It's about making sure that kids are stimulated. But reading is one thing. The other thing is museums and other places that you can bring your child to, different activities that you can bring your child to, working with our community library where we have free activities in all of our neighborhoods. That's another opportunity. It's tying in the existing resources with our parents and letting them know that we're all in this together. There are places that they can bring their children. It's good for their development. It's good overall for the community. And so it will depend on where the parent and the child live, how many words they're listening to, and we'll work with each of the families individually during home visits to make sure that we provide good strategies for them to increase that word count, make sure the kids come to school ready to learn.
Mm. Listeners, we're talking to Providence Mayor Angel Taveras about Providence Talks. This is a program that uses technology to close what's being called the word gap between low-income kids and higher-income kids. And Mayor, stand by if you would. And listeners, I wanted to encourage you to call 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And Mr. Mayor, I want to bring in Jill Gilkerson. She's the Director of Child Language Research for the LENA Research Foundation, and that's the organization that actually is providing the technology that provides these recording devices and understands this technology really well. And Jill Gilkerson, welcome to Radio Boston. Great to have you.
Hello. Thank you.
I wonder if you could take us back a little bit and just talk about where this idea comes from that a child's academic success is so directly correlated to the amount of talk, to the number of words that he or she hears in those first few years of life.
Well, this was all based on research, seminal research that was done by Betty Hart and Todd Risley in the 80s. They were interested in investigating the language environment of infants and toddlers, and so they went into the homes of 42 American families, and they recorded the child's language environment once a month. They did this for 3 years. After analyzing the data, there were two important research findings. The first is that there's a direct correlation between the number of words a child is exposed to early in life and their IQ and their academic success in school. Secondly, they found a huge difference in the amount of language and interaction that low-income children experience compared to higher SES kids. And this is on the order of 30 million fewer words heard by lower-income children by the time they enter kindergarten.
It sounds fabulous, and without understanding a whole lot about it, I have to say it sounds like a great idea. But I have a couple of questions, because one of the things that occurred to me is it really just about the number of words rather than all of the attendant advantages that upper-income families have, whether it's access to babysitters and nannies and after-school programs and so on and so forth. In other words, is measuring the number of words the key to leveling the playing field? Let me start with you, Jill Gilkerson. I'd love to hear from you, Angel Tavares, as well on that.
Absolutely. The Hart and Risley research showed that. They were able to factor out the influence of SES, and they found that it was simply the number of words the child is exposed to early in life.
Interesting. It sounds so simple, Mayor Tavares.
Well, I'll tell you, it's something that is extremely interesting and that people should know more about. I was at Education Nation in New York City in 2011, and we had a doctor who talked about the brain development of children and how the words that they hear help stimulate brain development. And it was something, I have a newborn, so something I'm obviously paying close attention to, but it's something that I think families need to know. We know how important it is to read to your children, and now there's even scientific evidence of how important it is and how it helps them develop as well. So I think it's extremely important. The research shows it, the data shows it, and I believe that we're going to show it as we work with families here in Providence, and we'll be working with Brown University as well to test our hypothesis and to see the difference between those who participate in Providence Talks and those who don't. So we believe that the data is going to show it, and hopefully we can make a big difference not only in Providence but across the country.
Yeah, it's a fabulous idea. Jill Gilkerson, it's not just about exposure to words, though, is it? Because I was looking at some of the research from your company, and one of the things, for example, exposure to TV. I mean, a kid is going to hear lots of words on television, but that doesn't necessarily help them, right?
No, it doesn't. And we found that exposure to TV is not something that children will learn from. They won't learn language from exposure to TV. And so the LENA system technology is specifically designed to filter out words heard on the television. So we're able to report the amount of exposure the children are getting to human words. And importantly, we're also reporting how much children are interacting with parents. We're reporting what's called conversational terms, which is the back-and-forth interaction between parent and child, which is so important for early social and emotional development as well as cognitive development.
Well, we've got a bunch of callers who'd like to get in on this conversation with some questions and comments. So let's go right away. Let's go to Sarah, who's calling from Milford. Hi, Sarah. You're on the air.
Hi, Anthony.
Hi there. What's on your mind?
So I'm a speech and language pathologist and just wanted to, I guess, throw my expertise behind what they're doing in Rhode Island and say that I also work as a school-based speech pathologist in Boston, so I've seen the achievement gap firsthand. I also know the LENA device. I'm really, really happy about what you just said about the television. That was one of my big points. And also, I think that there are, you know, other things that factor into why some of these children have an achievement gap in, you know, the areas of literacy when they first come into kindergarten. But I think that this is a wonderful start, and I have seen the research from the LENA device, and I think it's great. So I just wanted to throw my support behind it.
Sarah, thanks so much. We appreciate the call. Let's go to Brenda, who's calling from Weston. Hi, Brenda. You're on the air.
Hi, Anthony. I'm just calling with a question about listening to books on tape. When my children were quite young, we did a lot of that. We listened to, everything. Everything and anything. And as they grew older, they, you know, understood more of what they were listening to. And then that, from listening to books on tape, we had lots of interesting conversations, too. I mean, I recognize what you're saying, that you can't just put your child in front of a TV and
right.
walk away.
Well, Brenda, it's a great question. Let me ask Jill Gilkerson, is there research that is that sort of one of the approaches to help kids be exposed to words?
Well, the important thing to remember about electronic media of any kind is that you don't want it to be a distraction from actual conversation with your child. If you can use it to enhance back and forth conversation, like the caller was saying about using the books on tape to talk more with their children, then absolutely that's a positive thing. But you don't want to just use it kind of as a substitute for interaction with your child.
Hmm. Mayor Tavares, what do you think? You said you're a new dad. Books on tape, appealing idea to you?
Well, I think it's important to expose children to as many things as you can, and especially to have them love books. And books on tape is certainly one way that we can try to do that. And that's something I try to do with my daughter. I mean, and I see it already at 15 months. She likes books, and so that's important. But I like what Jill says about not letting it be a distraction, trying to have that personal interaction with the child, which is extremely important. And so we should never lose focus of that.
Mm. Let's go to Christine, who's calling from Providence. Mayor, one of your constituents. Christine, you're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for having me. I am a Providence resident, a mother of a newborn and a three-year-old, and actually a literacy specialist in Massachusetts. And my concern or question really is what sort of education these parents are receiving also on the type of language to be using with their children, because I fear that just counting the number of words, you know, when we think about the way we want parents to talk to their children by reading to them and the kinds of conversations they should be having, is that involved from the offset, or is it just merely counting words?
Christine, it's a great question. Mayor, let me come to you first.
Yeah, we will be focusing certainly on the number of words, but also the content and the level in terms of depending on the age of the child as well, and making sure that we can continue to expand that vocabulary. It's not just the number, but certainly it's the quality as well. So we'll focus on that, and we look forward to working with our families to expand that vocabulary, and at the same time, hopefully be supportive of our parents as well.
Mm. And Jill Gilkerson, just to pick up on Christine's question, does the LENA technology distinguish in some way between the quality of the words, of the language being used, rather than just the number of words?
We're not able to distinguish one word from another. We're only able to estimate the total quantity of words. But research has shown that there's a direct correlation between the variety of different words and the richness of language. There's a correlation between that and the number of words spoken. Mm. So you can imagine if you're speaking more words, you're talking about more diverse things. You're bringing in new ideas and concepts for the child, which is always a good thing.
Mayor Tavares, I'm interested to know, you're going to be making this program available to families. I mean, obviously people wouldn't be required, but what are you going to do to encourage families to take part? Because it seems like the more families you can encourage, the more you can help them, the more data you can accumulate to figure out if this really is going to work citywide.
Well, as part of our application for Bloomberg Philanthropies, we did a lot of outreach and focus groups. And we had several families who took part in a trial basis, a very short trial basis of the program, and it went very well. I think that we will be reaching out using the community groups that we have now, and also I expect that as families become enrolled in it, there will be more word of mouth that will go around as well and be helpful. But first and foremost, it's really making the information available to parents, making the information available at the hospital and through some of the screening programs that we have, and then giving them that option. And I think as people see that it works well, we all want what's best for our children. And I think that this will be another option that they have to make sure that their children are learning and really prepared to learn by the time they start kindergarten.
And finally, Mr. Mayor, I'm interested to know, how big do you hope this program will become? I mean, how many people do you foresee participating in this several years down the road?
Well, in Providence, we hope that it will become several thousand families, and we hope that we will be the start of what is a national movement to increase literacy with our young children. And we want it to start right here in Providence and spread all across the country.
Well, we wish you all the luck. That's Mayor Angel Tavares, Mayor of Providence. He's the inspiration behind Providence Talks, an effort to close the word gap in his city. Mayor Tavares, thanks so much for joining us. We're very grateful.
Thank you.
And Jill Gilkerson, Director of Child Language Research for the LENA Research Foundation. Jill Gilkerson, thank you as well. We appreciate your participation today.
Thank you so much.
And listeners, you can continue this conversation for those of you who we couldn't get to. The conversation continues at radioboston.org. Stay with us. Coming up, we hear about one of the fastest growing immigrant populations in Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.